Welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with leading economists from around the world. My name is Ramesh Baitalingam, and today's interview is with Patrick Messelin, who is Professor of Economics at Sciences Po in Paris. Patrick and I met at the Global Economic Symposium in Schleswig-Holstein, Germany, in September 2008, where he had been speaking on a panel entitled Reconsidering the International Trading System. I began by asking Patrick to outline the key challenges facing the world trading system.
There are two big challenges. One, it is really international. During the last 15 years, all the countries have liberalized, developed countries and developing countries. But they have not done so in the same ways. The developed countries have done that essentially through WTO negotiations or previously GATT negotiations. So basically, they apply the tariffs to which for which they have got commitments in the WTO, what is called bond tariff. So it's very clean. When foreign businessmen look at the tariff schedule of the EU or the US, he know exactly the tariff that will be applied and he can count on it. Now, there is another bunch of developing countries, essentially developing countries, 20 or so developing countries, which have essentially liberalized on a unilateral way, either really unilaterally by them on desire or pushed by the IMF and the World Bank. And these countries have decreased their applied tariff, but not their bond tariff at the WTO. So we call that the water between the bond and the applied tariff. And the current go-around is really merging these two groups of countries together to liberalize a little bit more from the developed countries, we will talk later if you wish on that, and then to liberalize a little bit more for the developing countries, and also to cut the bond tariff to a lower level, even if this level is higher than the applied tariff. So in some sense, in this case, it's not a zero operation. It's an operation which delivers certainty to the businessman. The applied tariff may not change, but it would be now a certain tariff, a sure tariff for the exporter from the developing countries. And that has a tremendous value for the business community. But unfortunately, that has not been well explained, and the economists are partly responsible for that, to the business community, so they don't see this benefit. So that's the problem, not perceiving the benefits provided by the certainty in the rules provided by the system. The second problem is a problem really domestic and essentially in the large countries, which of course count more than the small countries. And it happens that during the last 20, 25 years, in all the major democracies in the world, all the governments, whether they are from the right side or from the conservative side or from the left side, democrat side, all of them have smaller and smaller majorities, political majorities, which means that all these governments are more and more dependent from tiny vested interests. So there is a tendency to move less the WTO that they used to be, because in fact they are more easily captured by very small vested interests.
Now, as you know, the whole agenda of the Global Economics Symposium is focusing on solutions. What are the solutions that you see? What are the key things that we could try to do to break through this deadlock?
In fact, I think the main solution is corresponding to two problems. First, revealing better the benefit of certainty to the business people. So it's an education system, which in some sense requires that they are pro-trade research and policy and think tanks in all the capital cities. Not really in Washington, D.C., in the World Bank and the IMF, not in the WTO. We need domestic think tanks pushing domestic interest for free trade. That's critical in the long run. In fact, I think that's part of the gender inequality and education, which is the next year, one of the next year topic. It's education about what to do with the trade regime. It's critical. The second thing to do is to make more agile, lighter, if you wish, the WTO. Why? Because the largest economies have governments which are more easy, weaker, if you wish, in the wide sense of the term, weaker than they used to be, and so we have to give them less burden, lower burden than the full WTO that we conceived 15 years ago and we put on the track 15 years ago. It's a transition solution, and of course it's not, there is no silver bullet, it's just, you know, making lighter by removing any crucial element of the WTO today.
How much is progress hampered by the fact that we've seen this very high profile failure of the Doha round to date? It's been a long running saga and it still hasn't reached any completion, and then some countries have gone off and pursued other opportunities. They've gone into regional trading arrangements of various kinds, preferential trading agreements of various kinds. Is that actually pulling away from the WTO and the power of having an international system?
Well, just first a kind of preliminary observation. You may have noticed that in Geneva in July there was no demonstrations from NGOs against the GATT and the WTO. So in some sense it means that the civil societies in the world, be in the large developed countries or in the developing countries, they may have fears and concerns, but it's not the anti-globalization movement that we used to have. It's quite different. It was quite striking. In some sense the negotiators were really sad to have failed, and you know, I had met some of them. They told me that we walk along the lake on our common joint failure. So this is new. This is really a sense that the WTO is part of is an important, crucial part of it. Now, again, I'm quite confident that the negotiation will resume. What that has been achieved in July is really substantial. And the countries will have second thoughts once the two crucial next elections, the US one and the Indian ones, because they are these two crucial elections, will be over. I'm sure that the negotiators are already starting to talk about how to deal that. And then it will depend about, of course, the new government in Washington and in New Delhi.
So really what we want to do is try and get past those elections, get to some reasonable closure on the Doha round, and then think again about where we can push forward from there.
Yeah, but I think the negotiators, and probably knowing the hyperactivity of Pascal Lamy, I'm sure he's trying to do that, the negotiators are already trying to cope with some of the pending problems, because they are pending problems, not only the one on which everybody has stumbled, but there are a few others. And maybe they are also trying to refine what has been achieved in order to go into the details. They didn't have time to do so. So I'm not sure, I don't even think that necessarily the coming months will be lost for the negotiations. And depending certainly the outcome of the US election, negotiators may really start again to negotiate if the most free trade candidate is winning. That means Senator McCain, if we believe what Ankur says, and I think she said what everybody is saying in Washington. We know better his trade agenda than Senator Obama. Now, Senator Obama may reveal to be a fact, to be converted to a free trade.
So those are the sort of domestic and global political agenda. What do you see as the research agenda? What's the contribution going forward that economists can make?
I think the really the work we have to do is about the value of the rules. I was really amazed by this small, it was only 4 pages on the binding tariff, and the huge echoes that it has got in the US, even in my own country, which is a kind of difficult country to talk in terms of trade, because it's really, it goes to the heart of the businessman. When you ask the businessman why the WTO, he told you for liberalization, but in fact, in goods, in industrial goods, we are almost at the end of the liberalization. What remains is a series of peak tariffs in emerging economies, not in all of them, but in some major emerging economies. And if we agree that the Doha round will be signed, that's it. So there will be a next round on industry, but the chapter will be pretty small. Of course, we have a lot on agriculture. But then on agriculture, it's two things. It's farm product and food product. And food product, processed food, is industry. So we know how to deal with that. And then there is this huge territory of services. And in this case, the WTO is not maybe the first forum for negotiations, because services, we don't know how to negotiate services. But in all this industry, agriculture and services, what the WTO will provide in all of them is, again, the certainty. The WTO will lock in agreement in services. It will lock in the peak tariff, and it will lock subsidies and tariff in agriculture. So really the research and data should really focus, I think, in the long run on the economic value of certainty, which is, of course, a terribly, terribly difficult topic, which explains why the economists have not been so good in channeling and promoting the door around, because we prefer to do very marginal stuff on which we have data and well-equipped model, and then we leave the big question, which, of course, this is the big question which interests the businessmen.
Well, plenty to do, research and policy, much more to talk about next year at the Global Economic Symposium. Happy Messmer, many thanks.
Thank you.